Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bets.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Carson's Corner is brought to you by www.graythought.com. That is www.graythought.com. And onthemat.com. Please make sure to visit www.onthemat.com. Hello, folks. Welcome to Crooklyn's Corner. I'm your host, Steffrey Crooklyn Daniels. Thanks to my fill-in host, Bob Carson, who took over for a brief period covering only two decades in this show's existence. Now, things can get back to normal around here. Welcome to my unpaid intern, MMA artiste and dandy subculture icon, Evan Shulman. Folks, no need to adjust your audio equipment. That was simply an ingenuous Orson Welles-style deception on my part. Okay, you're absolutely aware by this point that I made it appear as if Steffi Crooklyn Daniels of the Underground Forum and Tap Out Radio had returned to host what she referred to as her show. Of course, that isn't the case. If Crooklyn were indeed ever to host this show, it would be like when you turn on Bill O'Reilly. No, I'm not going to say that. I definitely don't mind the similarity and consider flattering more than anything else. Of course, Donnie and I have joked around on Facebook about it. I hope she wasn't offended, although she might have expected the comparison. We're actually one of the most recognizable brands in the MMA world, and speaking of which, we have some huge news here. I can't get into some of the detail because even I'm unaware of the logistics of this, but Carson's Corner is going to be coming under the banner of CageJunkies.com. That is the great website that Charles McCarthy started. Charles McCarthy was on our last show, and we are honored to be a part of Cage Junkies Radio Network. This is going to come up. This is going to happen in the next couple weeks or so, I think. This is a definite. I'll give you more details as they become available to me. If you follow me on Facebook and you follow me on Twitter, I've been posting about it for about 24 hours or so. This is huge. You want to know why? Because Cage Junkies can offer what SureDog and MMA Weekly can't, okay? We're talking about independent analysis, outspoken radio hosts, guys like myself and others who, you know, don't have to parrot our opinion because some promoter doesn't want us to say a certain thing. That is why I predict Cage Junkies will be one of the biggest sites in MMA. Okay? It's going to happen. Charles McCarthy has a great plan. He knows what he's doing. And the only question I have for Charles, the only request is that as this site gets bigger, we don't sell out to any type of corporate, you know, media. Okay? You know, like Crave Entertainment bought SureDog. And I mean, it's just, anytime you lose your independent edge, you just lose what made you original in the first place. And that is because, trust me, Cage Junkies is going to get huge. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, we're going to be on their radio network. I'm saying that because of the type of model that Charles McCarthy is basing his site on. Okay, it's a fan-oriented site. People can interact. People can contribute. Okay, there's going to be other radio shows on this network. Quality, the highest quality radio shows available. We are going to be bringing you interviews where you will never get. You'll never get these type of interviews on any other radio network. This is huge. This is something that you don't see with SureDog or any of the other MMA sites. I mean, it is just a reality. Charles has been covering local MMA events. We here at Carson's Corner in the past have done that, and we intend on doing that. Again, where else are you going to see that? You're not going to see that on SureDog. You're not going to see that on MMA Weekly or, you know, MMA Junkie. You're going to see that on Cage Junkies. Carson's Corner is under the Cage Junkies banner. You're going to be hearing promos. You're going to be hearing bumpers. Everything. So we are so proud to bring you that news. Thank you very much to Charles McCarthy, and thank you very much to the folks over at cagejunkies.com for everything. We're all part of the same team now, okay? That's the way I look at it now, all right? And Donnie, my unpaid intern, was actually crying yesterday when we received the news. He was very, very emotional, okay? But seriously, folks, this is going to be huge. This is going to be absolutely huge because it is going to expose us to a lot more people, I think, in my opinion. In my opinion, as I said, Charles McCarthy's site is going to skyrocket. The sky is the limit. We have premium content that you're not going to get anywhere else. And, you know, the Carson's Corner being one of the longest running MMA shows out there, most consistent and most well-respected. Our interviews, our content, my personality, our research, everything is something that you are not going to find on any of these other radio networks. I mean, you know, Jordan Breen and some of these guys at SureDog, they may be knowledgeable about who won by what submission in UFC 1 or UFC 2, but by and large, these guys don't stand for anything. You know, they're nerds, so to speak, and I don't want to, you know, say that really in a derogatory term, or you know, you can interpret it as such, but they're basically fans, okay? And you know, I'm not saying they're not knowledgeable, but seriously, they are not advocates. I'm knowledgeable, and I'm an advocate for the fighter. I care about the fighter's welfare because I was a fighter, okay? You know, I know a lot of these guys. Believe me. You know, we have heart. Charles McCarthy has heart. The folks over at Cage Junkies Radio, the network, they have heart. Everybody. We're you know, it's a vastly different product, and I'm so happy about it. I really am. I can't tell you what this is going to do, you know, for us. And it's going to be beneficial to Cage Junkies. You know, every week we bring you the best in MMA interviews out there, and we have the best guests, and everybody in the industry listens to Carson's Corner. You don't think Dana White listens to this show? Believe me. Trust me. Dana White listens to this show, okay? I don't think there's any question about that. UFC officials listen to the show. And, you know, with Cage Junkies now getting off of the ground with the business model that Charles has, I think it's going to be a great thing. I knew this was going to happen sooner or later. I did. I definitely knew it was going to happen sooner or later. So thank you for everybody out there. Thank you for listening to the show for years and supporting me. We have a huge loyal fan base, and I want to thank you. All right. Thanks to our forum poster, Don't Tase Me Bro, on the Underground for posting those shows of ours and transcripts of them over the last few months, especially with the Charles McCarthy interview. People often confuse him for me or Donnie, but we post as Carson's Corner Radio Show. We have a Carson's Corner Radio Show account, thanks to the great man, Kirk Jenis, for giving us that account. And I don't post on the Underground, okay? I don't. I don't have a troll account. I don't even have the password to that Carson's Corner Radio Show. All right. So if you see that show, or if you see that handle, it is somebody from this great radio show, but it's not necessarily me. All right. I want to make you aware of that. We have a great show for you today. All right. Former guest Billy D. Williams, fighting out of AMA in New Jersey, is back on the show. Billy made national headlines when he donated his first professional fight purse to teammate Scott Farlam, who was diagnosed with leukemia. Now Billy's back to talk about that fight, his team, and his future. Okay, we spoke to him for almost about a half hour or so. We're going to give you that interview. We come back, I'll talk a little bit about UFC 134, and that'll be it. All right, so here is Billy D. Williams. We'll be back right after this interview, folks. Listeners of the show will know MMA fighter Billy D. Williams from his incredibly generous gesture to cancer-stricken teammate Scott Farlam. Now Billy is back to talk about his progress in the sport and much more. Billy, it's great to have you on the show again. How are you doing today?
Good, Bob. Thanks for having me back.
Before we talk about your fight in the future, I just want to say that Dan and Jim Miller once again proved what warriors they were with their recent UFC performances. We're trying to get Jim Miller on the show here for everybody. Whether they won or lost almost didn't matter to me. Both of them showed tons of heart, and I hope they earned a spot on UFC shows forever with their determination. What did you think about Jim Miller versus Henderson and Dan versus Palahades?
First of all, Jim versus Ben Henderson. I thought both of them fought really well, first of all. In a fight like that, you hate to see a loser, to be honest with you. Ben Henderson is one of my favorite fighters. Jim Miller being my favorite fighter, Jim and Dan Miller, but Jimmy fought really well. I think when there was one instance in the fight where he went for his back and he had a standing, like almost a standing arm triangle. I think he kind of gassed himself out. My own personal opinion, I think he gassed himself out by holding on to that a little too long, because it wasn't going to go anywhere because you could see it wasn't tight enough. But when you're in the middle of a fight, you may think you have something that you really don't, and he held on for it a little too long, you know, got a little lactic acid in his arms and got a little tired from that. But other than that, it was a good fight. It was definitely a good fight.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Danny versus Tokino. I just thought if Dan would have just jumped on him at the time where he was just so hurt when he knocked Tokino down, but they were both so tired that, you know, anything out of it, it's a fight, you know, and it's easy to sit there and watch and say, you should have done this, you should have done that. Bottom line is, both of those guys, you know, show so much tremendous heart, not just skill, they show so much heart when they fight that, you know, it's just a pleasure to work with them and be with them every day on the mats and training with them. Incredible. Incredible heart both of those guys show.
Yeah, Jim and Dan both showed a lot of heart. Jim showed a lot of heart against Henderson, who had a career-defining performance and looked incredible in every area. I didn't expect to see Henderson have that much of a wrestling advantage, and that was something that really, really surprised me. Did Miller, do you think, miscalculated all his training focus or game plan, or was Henderson just unstoppable that night?
I'm a little biased. I definitely don't think Jim shortchanged his camp at all. I think Jimmy, you know, when it comes to fighting and, you know, preparing for his fight, you know, he definitely – his business-like goes about it, doesn't treat anyone, you know, differently, trains for everybody the same, you know, puts in a full camp. So I don't think it was the fact that he just took Ben Henderson lightly. I just think someone has to lose, and, you know, to me, it was that time for Jimmy to lose that night, unfortunately. What I can tell you, and I'm being 100% honest, is that I know for a fact, and I know Jim Miller, that when he comes back to the gym, it's going to be hell on everybody and hell on the next few people he fights. I know that for a fact.
Dan versus Paulo Harris is probably going to be talked about for years as a fight for a number of reasons. What did you think about Paulo Harris putting his hands up and declaring himself the winner? That was odd.
Yeah, this is just my opinion. I haven't talked to Dan or Mike about any of this. I think that Paulo Harris was trying to take the easy way out. You know, he had Dan in a little bit of trouble, but Danny wasn't going to quit. So, you know, for him to get up off of him and think he won the fight, I mean, let's be serious. We've all, you know, we're fighters. We get in those situations. And for me to stop, the ref's going to have to literally put his hands on me and pull me off of someone when I'm going to finish them. So I would never get up and say, you know, I want to fight when you just the guy is either posting on my shoulder or I think he may quit. No, there's going to be no doubt about it. I'm going to keep punching you until you are quitting or the ref is telling me to stop. So as a fighter that's trying to finish someone, I'm not going to stop until the ref puts his hands on me or I see the guy out.
You know, if Dan had gotten up and cold cocked Paulo Harris while he was celebrating, I think that would be a legitimate win. I mean, I know it's difficult for people to say what they would do, but you know, if I were in that situation, I would get up and I would run over across the cage and hit him. And you know, some people say that's unsportsmanlike. Well, you know what? It's his fault. He's showing negligence by doing that, and he's lucky that he didn't get hit. He's lucky that, you know, the fight continued in the way it did. Or else, you know, it might have been a different outcome. Now, Paulo Harris strikes me as an incredibly weird person, not to be insulting here. He's almost like Tarzan or something. It's like he doesn't fully understand the nuances of human society. I remember it's like he doesn't mean any harm. I remember when he beat that European fighter, forget his name, with a heel hook, and he injured the guy, and he wouldn't.
He just kept twerking on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a weird guy. You said it 100% right. He's definitely a weird guy. He's definitely a submission leg lock specialist. So I wouldn't have been mad if Danny had gotten up and went and did a flying drop kick and dropped him off the top of that cage. I wouldn't have been mad. Like I said, you don't stop fighting like that until the ref either stops it. You don't stop your own fight. Again, very weird, weird predicament to be in. I think Danny was just in disarray that the fight was stopped when he knew he didn't quit. And why is the guy stopping and running to the top of the cage? I don't think Dan really thought it was over, but was wondering why, you know, this guy just stopped fighting.
All right, last question about Dan and Jim. By the way, I hope that Dan comes back in a big way, and I hope that Jim and Dan are kept around despite, you know, their recent bad luck in the cage, which if the UFC keeps them around, I think it'll be a good thing. Where do you think their toughness comes from? Is it that it's specific to them as individuals or a family, or is there something about the team and the environment that helps bring out toughness in the fighters?
I think there's a myriad of things going on there. Number one, it's just the way they're hardwired. That's number one, you know. They are definitely hardwired different than most people. And with that being said, most fighters are hardwired a little different. Jimmy and Danny being two brothers, I mean, I know if I had my brother fighting with me every day training with him, I'd be one hell of a competitor in the aspect of I'm not going to let my big brother or little brother see me tired or down. It's just going to give me that much more drive. Another thing is they are, you know, as much as people don't want to say, they are that face of AMA. So you have to pretty much keep your stuff right. You know, they can't come in slacking. They can't come in doing this because, number one, all eyes are on them. And, number two, there's a guy waiting to pick their spot in the UFC every day. So they got to come in and train hard and go hard. And it's not like they're the only two UFC fighters at our gym. So they're pushed to the brink every day by young people that are thirsty that want to make a name off of sparring them, or just people in the UFC that are trying to come up to our gym. You know, we got a lot of hungry people at our gym, and they're the top dogs, and everybody's gunning for them, so to say. So they got to stay on top of their game.
Speaking of your gym, I see that according to the AMA site, they have a bio up there for Jamie Varner. Is he now with the team?
Yeah, I've been actually been sparring with Jamie for the past couple months now. He's with the team, yes. I don't think he has anything lined up so far, but Jamie's definitely been there, definitely been coming, definitely been a good, you know, good added piece to the AMA Fight Club, along with Amanda Lioness Nunes. She'll be fighting on the Women's Strike Force coming up. So, yeah, we got a good, definitely have a good stable over there.
Now, going back to Varner, and I got to tell you this, and because I always say what's on my mind. I am an outspoken talk show host, and, you know, people may like that, people may not. I just got to tell you this, that, and I think I may have even mentioned this on my show before, that I had kind of a bad experience with Jamie Varner when I was trying to line him up one time for a show. I called him, and he kind of just, you know, blew me off and was real rude. Now, granted, I know these guys are busy and you catch them at the wrong moment and, you know, you could get the wrong impression of a guy like that. But I've seen reports and I've heard a lot of people talk about Jamie Varner's attitude. What is your impression of him?
My impression of him is Jamie Varner is he's a fighter, you know. He's a fighter in all the aspects of the word. He's just one of those guys that if you don't know what you're doing in the gym or you don't know why you're there, he's going to piss you off because he's going to be punching you hard. He's going to be going hard. He's going to be talking. He's just one of those guys that shows up and, you know, puts in 100%. Now, I can't speak anything other than, you know, going to practice and practicing with the guy. I just know when he comes to practice that he leaves it all on the mat, and he got into quite a few little altercations at AMA because not that he's going too hard, it's just, you know, he's bringing a different attitude that, you know, people probably haven't seen there in a little while, and it's coming from someone other than a Jim Miller or a Dan Miller or Andy Main or Charlie Brenneman, you know. Coming from a different person, so it might be rubbing people the wrong way. But all in all, in general, I think he's a good teammate, and I just, you know, I think people aren't used to, you know, getting punched that hard or going as hard as he's been going. Plus, he's new, and he wants to make a name for himself, so to say.
Scott Farrellum, of course, is another AMA member fighting a different fight right now against cancer. Can you give us an update on how he's doing?
Absolutely. As you guys all know, Scotty is one of my teammates from AMA. Had his professional debut over a year ago and found out quickly after that he had leukemia. He's doing well. He's actually getting ready for a boxing match in Newark, New Jersey, coming up here in September. So he's going to be taking a boxing match and then probably getting back into MMA when, I don't know, but he's definitely been coming to practice. I sparred with him, as a matter of fact, Wednesday afternoon. He's definitely looking good and looking forward to his boxing match in September.
That's really remarkable. It really is. I mean, obviously if he's continuing to train and fighting, then he must be doing well. You know, I mean, that's an encouraging sign, to say the least. You got a lot of attention when we had you on to discuss donating your purse to Scott, a gesture that a lot of people seem to respond to and respect. Obviously, his medical costs are high. I read a local article that said that the drug Gleevec costs about $2,000 a month without health insurance. I wish these drug companies would stop trying to block generics being manufactured elsewhere in the world. I mean, they're literally pricing people out of being able to cure diseases. With some cancer drugs, they can run as high as $90,000, $90,000 a month, which is just unbelievably insane. Can you talk us through you had I'm kind of just switching topics here in the middle, but can you talk us through the last fight that you had? I saw on Sure Dog that you got caught in the guillotine. It was early in the fight. What happened with that?
What happened? I went out there, you know, expecting to stand and bang. You know, like I told you on the show, My weakness is the ground, or was the ground. You know, if I have a weakness and somebody wants to beat me or try to exploit me, you would try and take me to the ground, and this is the keys to beating Billy Williams. You would try and take me down to the ground. I've since fixed some of those problems, but what happened was we went out, we touched gloves, and, you know, I'm a striker, so I'm looking to strike, and the guy threw a lazy leg kick. I caught that leg kick, threw a punch down the center, and he immediately started pulling guard, trying to, you know, attack my neck and just basically climbing me while I was standing there and had the leg caught. So I wasn't in any trouble at that point. He's still climbing me, trying to pull guard and sink in a guillotine while, you know, I have a double leg now. So I protect my neck, slam him to the ground, I pop my head out, I'm clear. I listen to my corner real quick, Sean Santella and Scott Farrell and Mike Constantino, and they're telling me, you know, elbows tight, drop some ground and pound and, you know, continue to fight. So I'm doing my thing, and I just took one brief moment to, like, breathe and take a big breath and, you know, get into the fight and start grounding and pounding, and my head was on the wrong side, and the kid slips in a 10-finger choke, guillotine, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, pretty much ended the night. So that's how my first fight went. Was I a little shocked that someone didn't want to stand there and punch in the very beginning of the fight? Absolutely. Am I mad? Yes, at myself. At him, no. The guy did what he was supposed to do. You know, kudos to James Fornano, who choked me out. I definitely want to see him again. But kudos to him. He did what he was supposed to do. It's a learning experience. I will never get caught in a choke like that ever again in the beginning of a fight or hopefully at the end of a fight. Never again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I one thing that after I heard about the loss, I was saying to myself that, you know, Billy's definitely going to work on his guillotine defense, and I'm sure you did until you were sick of it after the fight.
Yeah, I was definitely sick of it. You know what? The whole loss, Bob, I'm not the type of fighter that if you beat me one-on-one and you beat me fair and square, no problem. I just feel I didn't get to show anything that I had showcased. I didn't showcase any of my skills. And I just feel like I let Scott down that night. It was my pro debut, it was this and that, but all I wanted to do was go out there and fight well. I didn't even have to win. I just wanted to fight well to let these people see that this wasn't just some hoax, some guy getting in a cage for, you know, real quick. And I was really upset at the fact that Scott came out and I was fighting for him and I went out like that. That's what bothered me the most.
Was there an element of distraction with how much attention you were getting over donating the purse?
I don't want to blame, you know, my losses on anything, but, you know, I was fighting for Scott, donating money, you know, I was getting married in a couple of weeks. There's a lot of other things going on besides that, but, you know, yeah. I chose to take the fight, so, you know, how can I blame any of that on?
Yeah, it's your responsibility. It's like, you know, falling asleep behind the wheel or you know, ultimately you're the one in the cage and it's your responsibility to block out anything extra. But I mean, having said that, the story took on a life of its own and really dominated the news that most people making their professional debut would never manage. So, you know, there was just a lot going into this fight. Sean Salmon is another guest we've had on in the past who basically seems to have a severe mental block as far as guillotine defense. Not saying that you're one of them, but you know what? It's like sometimes this happens, and that submission does seem to catch people if they absolutely aren't focused right from the opening bell.
And you know what? You're dry. And, you know, that's the best time to go for that. You're dry. Everything's clean. And no sweat going on. So, you know, the guy did what he was supposed to do. I'm an idiot. I gave it to him. I basically gave it to him.
I saw in your AMA bio that you're a PT specialist by day.
Yes, sir.
Tell the listeners a little bit about your background and involvement in that field. And how much time does it take up relative to training?
Well, I can just give you one example. My day starts every day, usually at 5 in the morning. I got to get up, get my breakfast in, and then usually I get a run in, walk my dog, and then I'm at work by 6 or 6:15 training my first client. Whether it's personal training or being a physical therapist, aid. I'm either helping geriatrics or people that have been injured get back to doing what they're doing, whether it be ACLs, MCLs, PCLs, shoulders, back, neck. I do it all. And it's really a long day. For me, I get done at work at about 11:30, 12. I go train from 12:30 to about 2:30, 3 o'clock, come back and shower and go back to work from about 3 till 6, and then go back to AMA for another two sessions, either in jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai. So that's basically how my days go, 5 to 6 days a week.
What exercise would you recommend for spinal health and flexibility? I'm sitting here looking at our unpaid intern, Donnie, and thinking that his posture will eventually confine him to a wheelchair or even an iron lung or something like that.
If his posture is bad, first thing I want to work on is his core, because, you know, obviously that has a lot to do with it. So I'm going to work on his core a little bit, and depending on, you know, what type of back injuries he's had, then we can start to try and strengthen the back, so to say. But first thing I'm going to look at is your core, because a lot of people that have back problems is directly related to either their hamstrings or their core being weak. So that's the first thing I would work on, me personally.
Billy, it's been great to have you back on the show. Tell us about your next fight. It's going to be in October, correct?
Yes, I have an upcoming fight, October 22nd. I'm going back to Cage of Fury, same place I lost. I definitely don't want to ever lose somewhere and then go running, so I'd like to go back and get my win, so to say. I will be fighting at Resorts Casino Atlantic City on October 22nd. And then from there, I would like to book a fight every 2 months. That's how I would like to fight.
Let's give out any links or info you might want people to check out. I think everyone should go and check out the AMAFightClub.com website. Some MMA gym sites are terrible, but this one is actually very, very good. Lots of information. They have videos, detailed bios on all the fighters where the links work properly. It's definitely worth checking out. And if you're in the New Jersey area, it's also definitely worth checking it out in person. Check the site for details. Do you have any personal Facebook page or Twitter or any other social networking site you want to give out or any sponsors to thank?
Yeah, I would just like to thank a couple people real quick. I'd like to thank AMA for giving me a new home, a beautiful home. I'd like to thank all my training partners. I'd like to thank Confrontational Clothing, which is a sponsor of mine. If you ever get a chance, go to www.confrontationalclothing.com. Check out some of their stuff. And pretty much I would like to thank Bob Carson. You know, you guys, when you see him on Facebook, go to his Facebook page, like
yes.
his page, like his podcast. You know, this guy is doing a lot of good things. So, you know, support. If you want to support me, go to Billy D. Williams on Facebook. Go to my fan page and like my fan page. If you don't like me, so be it. Come and check out one of my fights. Maybe you'll like me after that.
Absolutely, and that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, flipping fans, flipping people out there and networking. And, you know, Billy and I are friends on Facebook, and we've been in contact for a while now. I consider him a friend, and I'm trying to make some inroads at the AMA to see if we can get Jim Miller and maybe some of the other fighters on that show from that school on this show. You could friend Billy through Facebook, and you could friend me through Facebook. So we look forward to hearing from you on there, and you can also follow me on Twitter. And, you know, just type in Bob Carson MMA, and you'll come across some relevant sites as it pertains to this show. Billy, thank you very much. We're going to try to attend this show in October. Hopefully I'll see you down there in person, and, you know, we can meet in person.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. I appreciate it so much. Your show has done a lot for me, not just as, you know, gaining popularity, but done a lot for me. It's getting the word out about Scott and just letting people know that, wow, this guy really is fighting, and he's not just one of these arrogant jerks. You know, he's fighting for a reason, and he's fighting, you know, for himself. So I really appreciate you putting my voice out there. There's no other way I could have done it without you.
You know what? And I'm going to tell you, I think that there's a good chance that this will wind up on the underground, and Kirk Jenis is a great man, and there's a good chance maybe that he can sticky this up to the top so people can really get an update on what's going on with Scott. And even if it doesn't make it up to the MMA news site. Still a lot of people hear this, and a lot of our fans were, of course, wondering about his battle. But it's very, very encouraging to hear that he's fighting and training again. He looks like a very, very big guy, strong guy. And you know what? It's almost like two fights. It's almost you fight against the disease itself, and then you fight against the economic circumstances outside of that disease. And that's something that the second fight is something we all can help with for sure.
Oh, yeah. That second fight, Bob, is a killer, that economic fight, you know. The disease itself is bad, but the economic fight is just that'll just break you down. So, you know, like I said, you did your job, I did my job. There's nothing, pretty much, unless we were both rich, there's nothing else we could do. So I'm proud of myself. You should be proud of yours.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, keep us posted if there's another drive or something like that. You know, please let us know. We'll be happy to have you on the show again, or Scott, or anybody, and give people information on how they can donate to help Scott out. Because you know what, we need to really support each other. We have to start thinking like we are a community, and we're just, you know, not a bunch of individuals out there trying to become rich and so on and so forth. So thank you very much, Billy. Good luck in October. Hopefully I'll see you down there in Atlantic City.
Bob Carson, thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you very much to Billy D. Williams for appearing with us again. Let's talk a little about last weekend's. Thanks to Billy D. Williams for appearing with us again. It was great having him on the show, and we look forward to seeing him fight in October. Hopefully, I will be able to carry that or cover that event for Cage Junkies. Very, very important. By the way, speaking of Cage Junkies, Heath Herring has a show on Cage Junkies with Jay Pagliaro. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Jay Pagliaro of CageJunkies.com, the radio network over there. They have a new radio show that just kicked off, and I want to point you to that radio show. We're going to be working together, and we're very, very pleased to be a part of this family. All right, let's talk about last weekend's events. We got a lot of stuff, a lot of emails asking for my thoughts on recent shows, so let's talk about the ones we just saw. Both had interesting moments. UFC 134 in Brazil turned out to be an interesting event. Of course, we were bogged down with a hurricane. The UFC ended really just as the hurricane was hitting South Jersey. But I noticed they got rid of the gladiator opening, or at least I didn't see it. And the rest of the production appeared to be exactly the same. We know that the as part of the UFC Fox Sports deal, that they were supposed to get rid of the gladiator opening and change some of the things about the production, but it wasn't apparent. The crowd was very, very enthusiastic, probably more exciting than usual. I also think the crowd exerted something of a negative influence on the refereeing for the event, at least where Mark Goddard was concerned. I haven't reviewed his record extensively, but in Brazil, he appeared to be directly involved in fights at times, and that's a bad thing. The referee should not be a factor in the result at all. We saw way too many stand-ups that favored the more popular fighters last weekend, and Goddard, in my opinion, was largely to blame for that. I don't know. You know, you got Rusamar Palhares. He was unable to understand the rules, okay, and he threw his arms up in the middle of the fight, celebrating his imaginary victory. It just it didn't feel right, okay? I felt like it was a parent. I felt like a parent watching their kids screw up at a Little League game. And it wasn't that long after the Marquardt incident where he got KO'd trying to explain about greasing to the referee. Remember that? Was that Herb Dean as well? I don't know. Maybe Herm should adopt Palhares as his son and teach him about life. Wouldn't that be great? I think he needs to. It's not his fault, though. Rusamar Palhares has a disadvantaged background. He literally came from the poorest background possible for someone living in a humane society. Kids who are, and Brazil is one of the industrialized countries, okay? They are what's considered a modern country. I think it's the OECD. They are an organization that rates countries. You know, when you compare countries, you want to compare industrialized countries. You don't want to compare the United States to Kenya or some other country that's a non-modern country, you know. You had the Miller brothers that were remarkably tough. We're going to have Jim Miller on the show. We're going to try to get him on the show. But Dan Miller looked like he had nothing left when he fought Paul Harris. But he managed to give way more than he probably should have. Both these guys, Dan and Jim, are incredibly tough. They have a workmanlike demeanor and background that I think really people can relate to. These guys are busting their asses at a hard job, not paying their friends to hang out with them and getting busted for DUI. They're working men, folks. I like that. I hope the UFC has a place for Dan, despite the loss to Palahares. Everything, you know, about that fight was incredible. All right? And I honestly think that the Palahares versus Miller fight was a bit more exciting than the Edson versus Pearson fight in terms of the fight of the night. But I understand that maybe they don't want to encourage guys pretending to win the fight while it's still happening, okay? They need to do a season of tough where Palahares is the coach. What about Brazil versus USA with Henderson versus Palahares building up to a rematch? I think that would be pretty interesting. But, you know, Ross Pearson is a good technical fighter. He reminds me of Frankie Edgar without the wrestling pedigree, so to speak. It just doesn't make for an exciting fight. I don't know. I mean, Ross Pearson just doesn't excite me. And his fight with Edson, I knew wasn't going to be that exciting. So, I don't know. But Palahari's received a $60 bonus check this week for being the most ridiculous fighter of the night. We're going to send him that check here at Carson's Corner. We're going to send him a $60 check for his most ridiculous fighter of the night reward here. That's a Bob Carson locker room bonus, folks. They don't always report that in the media, okay? You know, these bonuses they get have to be public, all right? The fighter purses have to be public. It's part of the athletic commission's duty to publicize that, you know? And they don't report what I give the fighters, okay? All right, we have a very good relationship with these fighters, and, you know, we want to see the fighters get as much money as they possibly can, because fighters that are working for the UFC are being squeezed for every penny. Believe me, they are. And, you know, you've got fighters that supposedly have million-dollar endorsement deals. Anderson Silva just got signed to Nike. Who knows, though? Really, it doesn't matter. See, this is part of the reason. This is part of the way that Dana White justifies his business model. He says, you know what? These guys, how do you know these guys aren't millionaires? How do you know that they're not making all this money? Well, Dana, we know based on their fight purses that they're not millionaires, and they're not even close to being millionaires. We know that, you know, at most, you'll have a fighter in the UFC that gets paid maybe in the six figures. And in order for him to make that money, you have to be really one of the top-level fighters. Someone like Michael Bisping or Rashad Evans or Lyoto Machida, who, if they were in boxing, they would be definitely within the top 10. They should be getting paid millions of dollars. You shouldn't just have to rely on this shadow endorsement figure or the shadow endorsement deal where the public is not aware of what this fighter is making. Okay, it doesn't justify you paying these fighters a low amount of money. And that's my word to you, Dana White. And I'll say it to your face. I will. Okay, I think it's disgusting, the business model that the UFC executes. And unfortunately, it's all legal what they're doing. It's called monopoly capitalism. The Justice Department recently just stepped in and stopped AT&T from buying, I think it was T-Mobile, which is a good thing. But you know what? We need some sort of enforcement like that when it comes to mixed martial arts. And we'll see how effective that enforcement is, because this is going to now go to a court system where the court system is stacked with judges who, you know, are elected most of the time. I think 90% of the judges in America are elected. Money is penetrated. I don't want to get too political here, but I want to tell you how you could follow the show and follow me and everything. You can go to Facebook and just type in Bob Carson, and you'll see my profile there. Donnie Riley has a profile there, too. He only has about 22 friends, so make sure to friend Donnie as well. He's on there. You can visit his profile through visiting mine. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. I am getting flamed by a lot of so-called liberals out there who follow Marcos Melitzis of the Daily Kos. Marcos Melitzis and I have been battling about President Obama on Twitter, and he still supports President Obama, and I don't, and all the people that go to his website still support him, despite having railed against him. Marcos Melitzis railed against Obama for almost an hour, and I just said the obvious, and then he started, you know, calling me ignorant and this and that, and this type of thinking is stupid, and these people don't make any sense. If somebody doesn't do what you want them to do, if somebody is betraying your values, you don't support them anymore. It's real simple. If somebody disrespects me continually, I don't support them anymore. I disengage. My support is not unconditional. Okay? Just remember that. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, just do so at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. That is twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. A lot of people have been emailing me about Dan Quinn. I've tried to text him several times. I haven't gotten any response back from him. He was supposed to come on the show last Friday. That fell through. So I don't know. I wouldn't be worried about Dan because he's still posting on Facebook, and I haven't taken a look at his YouTube videos yet. I'm sure he's fine, but that's why he hasn't been on the show. I haven't been able to get in touch with him. So, all right. Last thing, if you want to follow my political show, type in bobcarson13.podomatic.com and then hit enter, and then you'll come across my political shows. I'm telling you, we're getting hot. We're getting hot there. All right. We just did an interview with a guy named Kevin Carson. This interview is all over the place. It's on probably about 10 different sites already. I'm not kidding. It really is. So, you know, and we're also one of the highest ranked podcasts, liberal podcasts on Podomatic. Thank you very much. Thank you to Billy D. Williams. We are trying to get Gary Goodridge on the show, and we're also trying to get Jim Miller. So expect one of those two guys, or maybe both of those guys, in the next edition of Carson's Corner. Until next time, folks, show some respect.